The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, May 13th through Sunday, May 19th, 2024. The commentary for the month of May was written by Kira Austin Young, an Episcopal priest currently serving at the Episcopal Church of St. Mary the Virgin in San Francisco, though she also has roots in Texas and Tennessee. She is the author of Pro-Choice and Christian, Reconciling Faith, Politics, and Justice, and has been a contributing writer for other publications as well. The commentary for Monday, May 13th, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8, verse 8. The centurion answered, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only speak the word, and my servant will be healed." In Rite 1 for Holy Eucharist in the Book of Common Prayer, the Prayer of Humble Access quotes these words of the centurion right before the congregation approaches the altar to receive communion. Although some may not be familiar with it, as it is not included in the more commonly used Rite 2 forms, this prayer is similar to one in the Roman Catholic Mass. It is a liturgical reminder that as we prepare to receive the sign and symbol of God's grace in the sacrament, grace is not reliant on our personal worthiness or attempts at goodness, but on God's properties of love and mercy. The centurion, presumably a Roman Gentile, recognizes Jesus' healing power, and although he is in a position of authority and not Jewish, he humbles himself in the presence of Jesus, proclaiming his own unworthiness. No matter what worldly positions we hold, we come to the altar always relying on God's grace. And now I'm going to read from the full passage from today's Gospel, Matthew chapter 5, verses 5 through 17. When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, appealing to him and saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed in terrible distress." And he said to him, "I will come and cure him." The centurion answered, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only speak the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my slave, 'Do this,' and the slave does it." When Jesus heard him, he was amazed and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, in no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and will eat with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while their heirs of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you according to your faith." And the servant was healed in that hour. When Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to serve him. That evening they brought to him many who were possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and cured all who were sick. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah: "He took our infirmities and bore our diseases." And the moving forward question for this Monday, May 13th, is: consider the prayer of humble access conversations with God. How do these words shape your prayer time? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, May 14th. It begins with a passage from 1 Samuel 16, verse 7b from the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible. Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Here's the commentary. One of my favorite songs from church camp is God is a Surprise. The lyrics describe the Lord working in mysterious ways with a touch of irreverence and tongue-in-cheek humor. God is a surprise when God tells Samuel to anoint David as the next king of Israel. The cultural logic of the time would have been for God to choose the eldest, but instead, God selects the youngest, the least impressive. Throughout the Bible, we learn that God is a surprise. God does not see or value the things that humans value, but looks on the heart. God does not choose the strong, the wealthy, or the most powerful, and instead lifts up the lowly and the forgotten. God turns our expectations upside down. By the grace of God, help us to see as God sees and value what God values. Now I'm going to read from the full passage of 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 13a. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him, trembling, and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably I have come, to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And the moving forward question for this day is, how does God surprise you? The commentary for Wednesday, May 15th, begins with a passage from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 through 6. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. When I traveled to the Holy Land in 2019, I did not know where or what would be most spiritually moving. Although I was traveling with a group of mostly Episcopalians from the United States, we found ourselves at holy sites with groups from other countries, speaking other languages from other Christian traditions. Despite this very obvious things that divided us, in our common pilgrimage, I felt very powerfully that I was part of the wider global church, that these people were my siblings in Christ, and that I was bound to them through our baptisms. It is so easy to focus on what separates us from one another. But in the midst of fellow pilgrims who were also traveling and praying at the holy sites of our shared faith, I felt the powerful spiritual connection of our one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And now I'm going to read from the full passage from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. And the moving forward message for this Wednesday is, did you know that Forward Movement donates books and other resources to hospitals, nursing homes, and prisons? You can join this ministry with your financial support. Go to forwardmovement.org. Now here's the commentary for Thursday, May 16th, also beginning with Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. As someone who is active on social media, this verse from Ephesians is convicting. Whether talking or typing, expressing ourselves is innate and can also be impulsive. The desire to make a joke or comment on a current event in a cynical or denigrating manner might get likes, but it does not meet Paul's criteria for being useful for building up. While Paul was addressing life and relationships within the local church community, current technology means that the whole world has access to our words and thoughts, and us to theirs. It is often overwhelming, and yet we also feel compelled to say our own piece, lest no one know what we think. Though I have certainly regretted things I have said, I rarely regret when I've held my tongue. Paul encourages us to be mindful about our speech, that we might be instruments of God's grace, and love wherever we go, and encourage one another in faith. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 32. Now this I affirm and insist on in the Lord. You must no longer live as the Gentiles live, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance and hardness of heart. They have also lost all sensitivity and have abandoned themselves to licentiousness, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That is not the way you learned Christ. For surely you have heard about him and were taught in him, as truth is in Jesus. You were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lusts, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourselves with the new self, created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. We angry but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. And the moving forward question for this Thursday is, when was the last time you used words as a weapon? Do you need to apologize? The commentary for Friday, May 17th begins with a passage from Psalm 102, verse 17. He will look with favor on the prayer of the homeless. He will not despise their plea. I live in a city with a large and visible population of chronically unhoused people. The result of an expensive and limited housing market, as well as other issues, oftentimes I pray morning prayer with a podcast while I am walking my dog. And this verse from the Psalms takes on new significance when I walk by tents on the sidewalk or people sleeping on cardboard in doorways. Homelessness feels like an overwhelming and intractable issue, and it can be difficult to know what to do to try to address it. Faith communities and other organizations work to meet both the immediate needs of unhoused people and fix the structures that lead to homelessness. The reminder that God not only hears the prayer of our unhoused neighbor, but also looks with favor on it, does not absolve me of responsibility, but leads me to the hope that I might in some small way be the answer to the prayer of my neighbor. And now I'm going to read the passage from Psalm 102, verse 1 to 18. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me. Answer me speedily in the day when I call. For my days pass away like smoke, and my bones burn like a furnace. My heart is stricken and withered like grass. I am too wasted to eat my bread. Because of my loud groaning, my bones cling to my skin. I am like an owl of the wilderness, like a little owl of the waste places. I lie awake. I am like a lonely bird on the housetop. All day long my enemies taunt me. Those who deride me use my name for a curse. For I eat ashes like bread and mingle tears with my drink. Because of your indignation and anger, for you have lifted me up and thrown me aside. My days are like an evening shadow. I wither away like grass. But you, O Lord, are enthroned forever. Your name endures to all generations. You will rise up and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to favor it. The appointed time has come. For your servants hold its stones dear and have pity on its dust. The nations will fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord will build up Zion. He will appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and will not despise their prayer. Let this be recorded for a generation to come, so that a people yet unborn may praise the Lord. And the moving forward question for this day is, research the efforts in your community to support the unhoused. How can you help? The commentary for Saturday, May 18th, begins with a passage from the book Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 25. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. When I prepare families for the baptism of a child, I often downplay the theological focus on cleansing of sin, which is not hard because there are so many other aspects of baptism. I prefer to focus on the joining in Christ's death and resurrection. Yet this verse from Ezekiel has distinctly baptismal resonances as the prophet speaks for God. As God declares to the people of Israel, God will cleanse the people as well as give them a new spirit and heart. There is a spirit of renewal in this passage, of being able to start over afresh. In baptizing a baby, there is not much need for the infant to start afresh, but as part of the congregation renewing our baptismal covenant, we are reminded that we can always begin again with God's help. And now I'm going to read the passage from Ezekiel, chapter 36, verses 22 through 27. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when through you I display my holiness before their eyes. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and make you follow my statutes and be careful to observe my ordinances. And the moving forward question for this Saturday is, do you need a fresh start? Turn to God in prayer. And as we near the end of the program for this week, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, May 19th, the day of Pentecost. We begin with the passage from Psalm 104:27. There move the ships, and there is that Leviathan, which you have made for the sport of it. This verse from Psalm 104 conjures up a vision of an old-timey map with an image of a sea monster inhabiting the vast expanse of ocean in between the land masses. Though we have more scientific knowledge about the ocean than the psalmist did, those vast waters remain more foreign and inaccessible to humans than outer space. On this Feast of Pentecost, in celebration of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, we remember that the Holy Spirit was present and active in creation. Like the Holy Spirit, parts of creation are so strange and unexpected that I like to think that God had a very good time filling the seas with giant lobsters and fish that glow. If our knowledge of our own world is so limited, how much more so is our knowledge of the strangeness and untouchability of God? And the moving forward question for this Sunday, the day of Pentecost, what other creatures do you think might have been made for the sport of it? And that is just about all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let us pray. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our hearts' longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me again for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.